You know, because, you know, in ourselves, we just don't have enough answers to meet the need. The needs are complex. Life is complex. So, when you look to God, you know, God wants to use a mural, right? Maybe you'll use me today if you look to God. Now, whatever we share, it's not meant to be condemning, is it? Because there's no condemnation. Those are in Christ. Romans 8:1. So you're not supposed to feel condemned if something touches a spot. You are supposed to feel, wow, all right. The doctor just, you know, was filling around and felt a knot. Thank you for finding that knot, right? So there's no condemnation that was in Christ. It's all about edification. It's all about learning. Amen? So why don't we bow? Father, we give you praise. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for each and every person here. We just pray now, Lord, that you would be the teacher and that your Holy Spirit will do its work in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start out by reading 1 Corinthians 2:9. Reading out of the King James, just in case you're reading out something else, you might say, oh, what's it? That's not what my Bible says. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Whoa! That's pretty exciting. You know, that God has so much for us that it's hard to even comprehend. Kind of like the universe. You know, and God is bigger than the universe. You know, we've got our sun, it's a million times bigger than the earth. Then we've got a galaxy with 100 billion stars and into a trillion galaxies. That's huge. And that kind of a God can do so much inside of us, it's hard to even imagine it. Okay, I get excited when I read that. Now, I don't quite have all of that yet. Yeah, who has all of it yet? Anyone? Anyone's got that, what that scripture's saying? We got a degree of it, right? How would you like to have more? Yeah, I'd like to have more. I'd like for God to fill my mind with whatever it is that it's hard to even imagine. You know, the peace, the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment that God can bring. Okay? So, let's kind of pursue that. How can we get that? And is there anything hindering us from receiving it? Because it goes on that God will reveal it through His Spirit. Okay? His Spirit within us will bring that fulfillment to our mind. That level of happiness, no matter what our circumstances is, we can live in that kind of paradise within our mind. Wow. But it does say that down here in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Okay? So is that talking about an unsaved person? Well, he's talking to Corinthians who are saved people, okay? So he's not necessarily talking to an unsaved person, okay? He's saying that a natural man, and it goes on to say in chapter 3, in verse 1, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes. So, we're talking about Christians, that's us. Natural man, and that word in the original language is psuche, which is soulish, a soulish person, and we'll talk more about that. That's what it's called, natural. Then it says you are carnal, and that word is sarkikos, which is fleshy, and then he refers to them as babes. Okay? He says they are babes. And why? Well, it says you envy, you have strife and divisions. Aren't you carnal? So he's given us an example of things that can hinder. Now in Romans 8:6 it talks about carnal brings death, and that's spiritual, mental, emotional death, but spirit brings life and peace. So what can we learn here? You say, well, what can we learn about, I don't want to be a babe, do you? Now my wife is a babe. Okay, but I don't want to be a babe, you know, and I don't want to be natural. That don't sound good. And I don't want to be carnal. How many would agree with that? So we're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to check and see what we can learn. You know, some of you have more years as a Christian than I. Brother, I think you've been saved longer than I've been saved. Sister, you know, and so probably you know these things, but I'm excited about learning them. How about you? Because we can always something else to learn, you know. Now, where else in the Bible does it talk about being a baby? Okay, let's go to Hebrews in chapter 5. Okay. And 14. Well, let's start with, we'll start up here, 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that someone teach you again, which is the first principles. Now, the word first is elementary. The elementary principles, okay, of the oracles of God, and become as such it needs milk, not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here we're finding that a baby is someone that's to a degree unskilled in the word. Okay? Now, it goes on to say what they consider being unskilled in the word, or a baby, because it talks about the elementary principles. And would you open this up, babe? I got a babe on my mind. Hey, I want you to know there's nothing going on here. Okay. Therefore, leaving the principles, again, in the original language, is an elementary principle. What's baby principles? What's elementary principles? And it goes on to say what they are. But let's go on to perfection. And then, again, it's maturity is what that word actually means. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Okay, so baby doctrines are, or elementary, is repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Now, when he uses elementary there, he's not belittling these things. These are important, because it goes on to say these things will do, but they're still considered kind of the milk of the word. Okay? So, doctrines of baptisms. I think baptisms is important, don't you? It's not belittling that, but they're baby doctrines. They're easy to read. When we read the Bible, it's very easy to read about baptisms. It's really easy to read about faith. It's very clear. And then it says, resurrection of the dead. Wow. How many is looking forward to that day? Got lost ones, and not lost ones, but those have went on. Okay? And then eternal judgment? Whoa. Now, these will do, but it says that we need to go beyond these things. Go beyond these. Wow, these are pretty important things, but there's something beyond that. So you won't be a babe. I don't want to be a babe, do you? I want my mind and heart to be filled with that awesomeness of God that He wants to give us. Now, I'm 67. My life's, you know, it's got stress in it sometimes. How many's got a little stress? And I don't have the, you know, I have a degree of peace, but I could use more. How about you? Could you use a little more? But we can have more. Whatever age you're at, wherever you're at, how many times have you read the Bible? There's more. Okay, there's more. So I don't want to be a babe. I want to be mature. But it says here that when you're mature, that you can sense what's, you can discern and sense what's good and evil. That's interesting. How many know getting drunk's evil? How many know beating your kids is evil? Robbing, killing, fornication? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah, those are simple things. So why is it saying it takes a mature Christian to sense what's good and what's evil when it sounds like what's evil is pretty simple to see? Okay? You know that word, there's two words in the original language for evil. One is hurtful. That's why it's evil, because it's hurtful. And two, it's useless, unprofitable. That's the word for evil there. You need to be able to sense what in your life is useless. What's unprofitable? Now, why is that important? Well, there's about 7 billion people living on the earth right now, huh? Right? You think any of them needs touch by God? It's pretty complex sometimes touching a life, you know? So, you know, I mean, it's not complex experience, but it's, you know, people are complex. All kinds of hurt, all kinds of rationalization and things like that. So it's important that we don't have, that our life is not useless, unprofitable. What happened to the unprofitable servant in the Bible? Okay? It was Matthew 25 and 30, it talks about the talents. They had talents. But the one that didn't use their talents, it called him an unprofitable, you know, servant. And then he experienced darkness. Okay? Now, so it's important to God that you're not unprofitable, because there's people who need you. You see me? You mean? You, yes. You, we're on the workplace, in the school, in the home, the neighbor. God needs you. Every single one of you. And He needs you to exercise the gifts and talents He's given you. Okay? He needs you to be His heart and His hand outstretched. You see? So it's very important that we're not useless or unprofitable, and that's what that word means right there. If you look it up, okay. Now, I think all of us here want to be profitable. I don't think there's anyone that's on purpose wanting to be a babe. Anybody volunteer to be a babe? Anybody want to be unprofitable? I think everyone in church would like to be used of God to do some good. Would everybody agree with that? I mean, most everyone would want to do something. Now, my question is, what is it that actually blocks us from being able to be profitable? I don't want to be lukewarm to you, like in Revelation chapter 3, to spew out. I don't want to be that way. I want to be profitable. Well, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians And chapter 2, and verse 12. Okay, well, I think we'll start up here on verse 3. It talks about a falling away. There shall come a falling away first. You got to be somewhere to fall away. Whatever. I'm not getting into some theological thing here, but it's simple. To fall away, you got to be somewhere, right? So I think this, we can apply this principle to us. To fall away, if it be warm or hot or whatever we want to say there. But verse 12 tells us why they fell away. It says here that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me see. I think I wanted something else there. Oh, here it is. Verse 10 is what I was looking for. Because they received not the love of the truth. Okay, she's saved. Now, when they say saved there, it could, you know, it might be salvation or it might be delivered from whatever condition you're in, because that word's used different ways there. But they did not have a love for the truth. Now, why wouldn't someone have love for the truth? Don't we all have love for the truth? I mean, truth sounds pretty good to me. Okay. Why wouldn't we have love for the truth? Larry, how you doing, buddy? Larry, you know, the other day when you was talking to Patty, you were talking about Jason Pierman. Now, this is all fictitious now. This is not real, okay? And you were kind of being critical, and it didn't seem very helpful. Do you like that? Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth reveals something about you or about me that I don't necessarily feel comfortable with. Because it hurts. I want to be okay, don't you? And if someone points something out, it's not okay. I don't feel too good. If we don't have a love for the truth, guess what we're going to do? We're going to skip over part of the Bible. I've had people, when I was out on the streets, you know, ministering to people and say something's in the Bible, and said, that's not in the Bible. You know, well, not in the Bible. I've been a Christian. I've been a teacher. I've been a preacher. You know, I've been saved 40 years, and, you know, it's not in the Bible. So you go pull the Bible out, and sure enough, it's there. They say, wow, I didn't know that was there. How many has ever skipped over something and read it a few times and you think, well, I didn't see that time? If we don't have a love for the truth, we're going to skip over things that we really don't want to apply. It's be like 2 Timothy 3:7. It says, forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that can happen. You know, good works are not enough. It's not enough just to have good works. Good works are easy. See? But remember what it says in, I believe it was Matthew. Let's see where it's at. Matthew 7:21. Lord, Lord, I've done many works in thy name. But depart from me. It's not enough just to do good works. Good works sometimes, you know, is a real expression of our heart. We want to do good. But it's not enough. Have you ever seen someone doing good works, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, you know, maybe Joe over here or some, you know, somebody. And they had, they're doing all kinds of good works, but their personality needs a little refining. Because sometimes they can be hurtful. Sometimes they can not really be an example of what God really needs. See, if you do good works, but you don't live, you don't have the character, you don't have that peace, you don't have that sensitivity, then sometimes it causes people to pull away from the church. How many has ever met someone that's stopped going to church because they don't like the hypocrites in church? That's an old cliche, isn't it? So, you know, we need to look deeper into the Word, and if we love the truth, we're going to do that. Now, let's look at some things that people might overlook if you don't love the truth. Let's go to Luke 9:23. Here it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Okay. Now, a cross to me indicates a little pain. Take up the cross. It's going to be painful if you do. Now, there's a lot of people who are, and I'm not saying this judgmentally, we're all together. There's a lot of people who are fans of Jesus Christ. They're saved. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? But are they followers of Jesus Christ? You have to deny self. And if you don't lose your life, what's that word life there? There's two words for life. One of them is the word I used a little bit ago for natural. It's psuche, which is soulish. So it's saying if you're soulish, you're not going to receive it all from God. Here, it's saying if you ain't got to give up what is soulish. Now, why wouldn't someone want to do that? Okay, let's look to 9:57. "And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, I will follow thee." I think all of us, when we got saved, were saying, we will follow. What do you think? We'll follow. And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay." Okay, so he's saying, there's going to be some sacrifice, possibly. Okay, there's going to be some sacrifice. And he said unto another, "Follow me." And then he said, "Well, I got to go bury my father." That sounds like a reasonable request. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Why would he say that? Does he want us to miss our father's funeral? That's not the point. What he's saying is, some things that are important to you, that you put too much value on, gets in your way. When Christ wants you, you know, wants to do something special in your life. Another said, "Lord, Lord, I'll follow you." And he said, "Let us first go and bid farewell to our home and our house, and my house, our loved ones." He took some pretty important things in our lives to try to give us a comparison of what he's talking about. Following him sometimes means not putting as much value on things that we normally would value. There's sometimes a conflict of interest there, and you know, who wants to try to find out what that means? Because so often we just take that, well, that's back then, that's the disciples. No, he says, is anybody going to follow? So we need to find out what he's talking about when he says these kind of things. And in Luke 14:33, he says, if you don't forsake all, you can't be my disciple. And the word disciple means learner. You got to take up the cross and you got to follow. And then in verse 26, if you don't hate, and it's using this again to as comparisons of value. If you don't hate your father, your mother, husband and wife. Now, I know that can be easy sometimes, right? When you get in the fight. But is it wrong us to hate our loved ones? No. But compared to our devotion to him and our value of the truth and value what he wants us to do, our loved ones take a second seat. Now, we're supposed to be Christ to our loved ones. So that becomes a ministry. Okay? But our earthly value, just because, you know, they're my family, You know, so that's more important than anything else. May not be the case. Sometimes we don't want to see deeper truths. And then, you know, it's things like in Mark 4:19, the seed, the truth, the word, was choked out because of the cares of this life. Cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? Matthew 6:25, eating, drinking, what you put on. How much value do we put on? What does that have to do with denying self? It says deny self, and it's talking about not putting too much emphasis on what you eat. Okay? How many of you, when you deny your flesh, the food you like, that Pepsi, whatever it may be, that candy bar, or whatever it is, it kind of, you know, you struggle with that. And so we're talking about a value system here, and if we dig into the scriptures, we see that following him is a little bit different than the modern way of following him. It goes deeper. And how would you have to deny yourself? Let's say that you were on the way to church. I'm just giving you an example. And you spilled something on your clothes, your suit, or your dress. Would you come to church? I know I've turned around and went back home before. I'm not going to go into the church with something on me. But what I forgot to do is say, God, did you have anything special for me to do today? Maybe God was going to use me today, and maybe it's only me. We all have our own unique circumstances. Just like she testified, Lillian testified, sometime in the past here, that she received a card, a poster from you in 1991 when she was in war. She got lost for 6 weeks and weeks or months. Weeks. The government forgot her. Why? But she got that card signed by all of you. You're the only ones that she heard from over there, if I understand. And then here she is. She came to church. Started, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? And her life is changed. Her life is having a tremendous transformation. It's exciting. Now, who thought of that? Who thought of that poster back then? I can't remember. Probably not me because I'm scatterbrained. Somebody thought of it. Who was it? Was it Naomi? I think you was a minister back then. Or was it somebody else? Someone, it could be anyone. It could have been little rascal Joe, 1991. He was a rascal. Now he's a preacher. Maybe he says, oh, my sister. But what if he wouldn't have been there and he wouldn't have said it and they didn't fill that poster out and they didn't send it to her? There'd be a life that's being touched today, being overhauled today, being healed today, they wouldn't be healed, maybe. I mean, God could have found another way, possibly. But if God always found another way, wouldn't there be a lot more Christians? Be a lot more Christians, wouldn't it? A lot better? If God always got his way, you think it's his way that there's so many people lost? Less people go to church today than in the, what, last 100 years? I think that God, there's not always someone else that's going to make up for it. We need to really get in there and find out what's keeping us from really being used of God to the total so that we also can be filled with that tremendous fulfillment. Isn't it wonderful, exciting, and blessing when you see your seed planted in life and somebody else watered and God did the increase and you see that life changed? If it's be a loved one, oh, man, that's fulfillment. But we've got to love the truth. And we've got to realize that there's things we may not want to hear. You know, that we've got to really look at it to see. Now, why would I want to see more, read deeper, catch those little things instead of saying, well, that was the disciples, that was this. Well, of course, denying yourself, take another cross. But is it true that we don't have the passion and the love for people who are lost and people who are struggling? You know, it's so easy to be disgusted by people, to be frustrated by people. You know, like I've shared before, it says a whole world lies in wickedness. That word wickedness is suffering. Suffering, suffering, pain. If we're so caught up in self, and we're so turned off by people's hurt, because hurtful people share hurtful ways. And then I'm going to close. But in Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if you have all these works, you give to the poor, you give your body to be burned, you're a martyr. But you don't have love. Now, wait a minute. How could you not have love if you give your body to be burned? You know, I think so many times we get focused on ourselves, and this is not on purpose. We're focused on ourselves because we're hurting. Amy, if I come back there and stomp on your toe, are you going to be thinking about the rest of your body, how great you feel? Why? Because you're hurting. You're hurting. Okay? People are hurt. And so it causes us to be self-aware. She would be totally self-aware. It's normal. It's natural. Why does God use the word hurtful? When we call it evil, it's hurt. Wickedness is suffering. Because God is seeing the hurt in people. And if we will look beyond ourselves and deny ourselves and look at people's suffering and stop criticizing the fruit from that suffering. Stop looking down on people, but be broken by the suffering that people are experiencing. Then we can love the truth. We'll want the truth. Amen. Well, turn this back to Pastor, my pastor. Appreciate you listening. And I tell you what, I'm preaching to me too. I am going to read that scripture again, and I'm going to look for deeper truths, and I'm going to apply it to myself even if it hurts. I don't want to be a fan. I want to be a follower. I want to pursue, not just kind of sit back and relax and just take it.